This KMQ episode is brought to you by the Sexy Librarian's Erotica Blogcast. Listen in as Rose flirts around with Big Daddy and discusses erotica and sexuality with today's most provocative writers and community leaders. Subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Also available in the Google Play Music app for Android under Podcasts. And now, your favorite sexy librarian, Rose Caraway.
Today, I give you a sassy Dorothy Freed double ender. Dorothy is an author who has become dear to me. I've dined, walked, chatted, read erotica with her, and even interviewed her over at the Sexy Librarian's Blogcast. If you haven't listened to her tell about the events that led her to move across the country to San Francisco to live a life most have only fantasized about, you really, really ought to. Dorothy lived in San Francisco during the 70s. She participated in the women's liberation movement, walked with an actual suffragette, met her husband, her sir, after placing an ad in the Guardian newspaper, and they are still married today. Dorothy's work has been on the show recently in her Two Doms for Dinner, as featured in Best Women's Erotica of the Year, Volume 1. I am so proud to say that today, Dorothy Freed is generously sharing two more of her delightful little tales, which are inspired by actual events that took place during her quest for the perfect orgasm. Today's two stories are Plaster Orgasm, the tale of a sculptor who wants to complete the final piece for her next show, a plaster mold of her reclining body. It isn't long before the plaster begins to dry and the subtle tightening of skin becomes a greater itch that needs to be scratched. In Adventure at the Casa Cervantes Hotel, we meet a vacationing woman who needs to do a little soul-searching to decide if her current relationship is worth keeping. And who better to help her make up her mind than a couple gentlemen also visiting tropical Puerto Rico. The Sexy Librarian presents the Kiss Me Quick's Erotica Podcast. Transport yourself to a place, a time, an experience that will enrich your mind as well as your passion. You are entitled to your sexual self. This show is for adults only and is a hands-free listening experience. Well, at least one hand. But before our story begins, let me tell you about our latest audiobooks. Tonight She's Yours, Cuckold Fantasies. Cuckolding is deeply layered, from privately whispered scenes between a hot wife and her cuck, to a wide range of humiliation play requiring the adept skills of a big, beautiful bull, or three. The Sexy Librarian's Dirty 30. The Sexy Librarian is at it again. This time, it's after hours. Forget the card catalog just for tonight. Come to the back of the library. Peruse the Sexy Librarian's private stacks. Still smart and edgy, with just the right amount of moxie, these stories illustrate the limitless imagination of some of the best erotica authors today. Allow the Sexy Librarian to introduce you to some of her favorite and most trusted erotica authors who understand that sometimes you like it hot, intelligent, and occasionally very, very dirty. Get these sexy audiobooks now in iTunes, Amazon, and Audible. And now, Plaster Orgasm by Dorothy Freed. I lay back comfortably on the faded old rug in my art studio, wearing paint-stained denim jeans and nothing else. Outside, cold rain spattered the roof and ran down the windows. Inside, the heat was turned up and the temperature so high, the room was almost tropical. Jerry gazed down at my half-naked body, his dark eyes widening with interest. He was half-naked as well, with his denim shirt left unbuttoned and his broad, muscular chest bare. He held the handle of a water bucket in one hand and a shopping bag containing towels, a jar of Vaseline, and a huge box of plaster bandage in the other. Grinning, he set the items down on the rug beside me. "Hey, Allie," he said. "This art form has some distinct possibilities. Very hands-on." I gazed up at him, smiling, excited about his help on this project. I'd been working for months on a series of sculptural female body parts molded from multiple layers of plaster bandage. When the pieces dried enough to hold their shape, I'd lift them carefully from my model and set them aside to dry. Once completely dried, they were painted, mounted on canvases, and collaged with a variety of female images I'd cut from magazines and newspapers. There were almost enough faces, breasts, feet, backs, and thighs for a show. My boyfriend, Jerry, also a fellow artist, had come to my studio that afternoon to make a mold of my reclining upper body, head thrown back, hair tumbling around me, my shoulders relaxed. It was intended to be the centerpiece of my show. Squatting, he unscrewed the lid of the Vaseline jar, scooped some up with his fingers, and began spreading it thickly over my exposed skin. Vaseline is a necessary part of the mold-making process. Carefully applied, it ensures the preservation of body hair when the plaster form is removed. I closed my eyes and concentrated on remaining motionless while Jerry coated my head thickly with the slick, dense stuff. My long, chestnut-covered hair fell back around my head and shoulders, spilling onto the rug in carefully arranged tangles. He applied Vaseline to my face and throat, and ears and shoulders, down my arms to the elbows, and back up again, smoothing it evenly in slow, circular strokes over my full, firm breasts. My nipples hardened under his touch.
"Okay, Allie, you're ready to be plastered. Don't move a muscle."
Taking a long, deep breath, I let it out slowly and tried to relax as Jerry began laying long, thin strips of cool, wet bandage across my ribcage. Working slowly, he cross-hatched them over my breasts, up my arms and across my shoulders, over my face, throat, ears, and hair.
"Sorry," he said,
as droplets of water dribbled to my ticklish armpits and behind my neck, making me fidget, while he continued to apply strip after strip of bandage. I shivered when his hands moved over me, adding layer after layer, meticulously smoothing plaster over my forehead and prominent cheekbones, working it with his thick, surprisingly sensitive fingers over my eyes and half-smiling mouth.
"Doing okay, babe?"
I felt Jerry arranging my hair as he bandaged it. Two small openings beneath my nose were left uncovered so I could breathe. Moving back down my body, he strengthened the mold with additional layers. I felt him pause and linger over my breasts, slowly stroking the smooth, wet plaster covering them. They tingled with excitement under his hands. "Fine, thanks," I mumbled without moving my lips, without moving anything, in fact,
at the risk of ruining my creation. My muscles began to ache a bit from holding so still, and intense little itches erupted on the side of my nose, beneath my chin, on my right arm, and on my scalp, making me long to scratch. "Almost done," Jerry said, and I felt his fingertips gliding over the wet plaster, searching out weak spots in the mold. "Hold on. Feels like we need more bandage around your ribcage." "There. Looks good to me. Okay, it should be dry enough to remove in 30 minutes. Remember now, Allie," he ordered, sounding stern. "No moving." The clock ticked. Minutes passed. I twitched. I itched. I explored immobility in my plaster bandage restraints. Deprived of sight and speech, I listened to soft guitar music playing on the stereo and the steady sound of rain in the background. Jerry was beside me, his leg pressed against mine. I could feel his body heat through our jeans and smell his musky male fragrance combined with sweat from the heat in the studio. I wondered if it turned him on seeing me this way, and oddly, the thought turned me on. My breathing quickened as I imagined Jerry beside me, leaning on an elbow, gazing down at me with a hard-on in his pants. "Allie, you're so hot, bound up like that," he moaned, like he was reading my mind. "What are you doing?" I asked, which came out sounding like, "What are you doing?" When I felt him unzipping my jeans and slipping his big warm hand, slick with Vaseline, inside them, cupping my pussy, moving rhythmically in a slow, circular motion. A jolt of excitement shot straight to my clit, and I gasped with pleasure. I could feel the plaster beginning to dry, growing tighter, more restrictive, the drier it got. Jerry continued to stroke and tease and massage my swollen pussy, making me gasp with delight. And in some way, I didn't understand how much restriction could heighten my excitement. I moaned, clenching my ass cheeks, longing to grind my hips against the bed. Then Jerry upped the ante, finger-fucking me with what felt like three fingers, plunging deep and hard the way he knows I love, rubbing my clit with his thumb at the same time. I tried to say, "No, you'll ruin my sculpture," and remain motionless. But when he parted my ass cheeks and began teasing my tiny puckered rear opening, I gave it up for lost. Moaning steadily, my inner muscles clenched, my heart hammered in my chest, and the exquisite sensations claimed me. Distorting my carefully crafted plaster lips, I screamed as the orgasm built and crested and washed over me like a giant wave. And in that moment of ecstasy, with muscles tensed, chest heaving, shoulders contorted, head thrown back ecstatically, with a grimace of pleasure on my face, the plaster mold hardened, documenting my orgasm for posterity. When I was coherent again and the mold was removed, I lay propped on an elbow, gazing at it in awe. Jerry sat looking down at me, a satisfied look on his face. "That was hot, Allie. A little twisted, maybe, but baby, that was way hot." Listen, I haven't mentioned this before, but the whole idea of bondage and discipline turns me on. He grinned and kissed me lightly. And after this scene, well, I have a feeling you'll be turned on by it too. I think you're right, I said, and blushed at the truth of it. But Jerry, I said, smiling, picking bits of plaster from my hair, could we try something less messy, like ropes, next time? For the record, my plaster orgasm was the hit of the show. That was Plaster Orgasm by Dorothy Freed. But don't leave just yet. I've got another sexy tale for you. Adventure at the Casa Cervantes Hotel by Dorothy Freed. It was late afternoon at the Casa Cervantes in San Juan, Puerto Rico. The small stucco hotel was built before the glitzy high-rises began lining up along Condado Beach. I loved its plant-filled verandas, cool tiled floors, and old-style ceiling fans. It was a perfect place for a 40-year-old woman to spend time alone, examining my feelings for my lover, Gene. And to decide, had our once passionate relationship run its course? Or could it be saved? The lobby was quiet in the heat of the day, but now guests began trickling in, anticipating happy hour. I'd come down from my room, freshly showered, after a day on the beach, my dark curly hair still damp. I wore black jeans and a white sleeveless blouse. My high-heeled, strappy sandals made a clicking sound as I walked through the lobby with its whitewashed walls and trickling fountain across from the registration desk. I was headed for the patio bar and a frosty drink of something involving mangoes and island rum. My favorite table waited beneath a flowering flamboyant. Two men observed me as I stepped onto the patio. They sat at a table directly in my path, an umbrella shading them from the sun. They resembled each other, with dark, springy hair and strong Roman noses. I wondered if they were related. The trimmer one, with the wide shoulders and high cheekbones, looked to be in his mid-30s. I approached. Our eyes met. His were deep-set, the color of bittersweet chocolate. He flashed a smile, showing even white teeth. I'm an Al Pacino man from way back and was instantly attracted. Dominic, he said, extending his hand, and Anthony, my cousin. He nodded toward the other man. We were stuck in a real estate conference at the Hilton all weekend. Tonight's our big chance to party before going home tomorrow. Will you join us for a drink to celebrate? Yes, please, said Anthony. He looked to be in his mid-40s and a bit overweight with a lazy little belly. His shy, boyish smile appealed to me, though, and the endearing way he looked down and peered at me through his lashes like Gene did sometimes. Why not, I thought, and joined them. A waiter brought drinks, and we struck up a conversation in that open, unguarded way people do when they're strangers on vacation, soon to go their separate ways. I learned about Dominic's frustration with his employer and his dull single life in suburban Connecticut, and Anthony's inability to connect with women since his nasty divorce 2 years ago. enjoyed their company. Since flying in from Brooklyn a week ago, I'd kept to myself, sleeping late and spending afternoons on the beach. After dinner, I wandered from hotel to hotel along touristy Ashford Avenue, ignoring come-ons from interested men and pondering the nature of relationships. Now, I was ready for human contact. "Something's missing from my relationship with Jean," I confided over our second drink, "but I don't know what." We sat sipping and laughing until the sunset began and the sky became vibrant with color. We realized we were starving and moved to the dining room's seafood buffet. After dinner, we strolled in the humid heat of the evening, enjoying the sound of waves crashing, and later stopped to try our luck at the Marriott's casino. The men placed the bets at the craps table and handed me the dice. I rolled 3 sevens in a row, attracting a crowd who bet with me. "The tall woman's hot," someone said. We won money that night and left the casino high on victory. I slipped an arm around each man's waist on the way back to the hotel, and we walked along like that, joking, laughing, a tension building between us. I could feel their body heat in the creaky old elevator when they escorted me to my room at the Casa Cervantes. I unlocked my door while my companions stood, waiting, each hoping to get lucky on his last night in the tropics. I can't fully account for what happened next. I toyed with having sex with Dominic for half the evening, but now Anthony was turning me on too. They gazed at me longingly. I smiled, feeling my power, realizing that whatever happened next was entirely up to me. An unusual idea began forming in my mind, and I remembered, gratefully, the mint-flavored condoms I'd packed in my purse. "What a perfect evening," I purred, looking from one expectant face to the other. "Let's not end it yet. Problem is, you're each so attractive, I can't choose between you, and see no reason I should. Come in, both of you. Mi casa is su casa," I said, ushering them into my room with a sweeping gesture of my hand. "Are you both up for that?" They stared, wide-eyed, bowled over by this unexpected, maybe undreamed-of occurrence in their lives. My prominent nipples puckered at the thought of what was about to happen. My groin came alive with arousal. Dominic nodded, barely breathing. I could see Anthony's hard-on pressing against his lightweight slacks. He looked at me and blushed like a bride. "It's very warm tonight," I said, slowly unbuttoning my blouse, letting my full, round breasts swing free. My companion's eyes widened at the sight of them. "Why not remove our clothes?" Both men flushed, but began disrobing immediately. Naked, they carefully avoided looking at each other and kept their gaze fixed on me. But their cocks were rock hard in spite of their embarrassment and ready for action. It was like orchestrating a dance. I stood near the bed, condoms in hand, smiling at one man, then the other. 2 steps and I was up close to Dominic, kissing him, rubbing up against him, nibbling on his full lower lip. I reached down and cupped his balls in my hand, feeling the weight of them, then turned to Anthony, pulling him to me, crushing my breasts against his chest, teasing his hardened nipples with mine. He moaned, and the head of his long, purple-veined cock prodded my inner thighs. "Let's take it slow, sweetheart," I said, ripping open a condom package. "First things first." I pushed him back a bit and rolled on the condom. "There," I said, stroking the length of his shaft, dressed and ready for action. "Next," I said, turning to Dominic, stroking and teasing and squeezing him before easing the condom over his cockhead and down his swollen shaft, while pressing my generous ass cheeks up against Anthony's erection. Smiling into his eyes, I set the pace, taking Dominic's face in my hands, kissing him, thrusting my tongue into his mouth. "We've got all night," I whispered, sliding my hands from his face to his neck, to his shoulders, pinching his nipples between my thumbs and forefingers. He didn't flinch, but I felt him shudder, and that inflamed me. I dug my nails in and twisted a little. He winced, but his cock pulsed with excitement. Turning to Anthony, I stroked his cock with one hand and cupped Dominic's balls with the other. When I was ready, I led both men to the bed. They were trembling with excitement, their cocks swollen, their balls drawn tight. "Dominic, lie flat on the bed." "Yes, just like that. Let me taste you." "Mint-flavored cock, my favorite," I murmured, going down on him, kneeling between his legs at the edge of the bed. I sucked hungrily, lifting my ass up high. "Anthony, come here and pleasure me," I said, and turning to look at him, saw his eyes cloud over with arousal. He knelt behind me, silently, hands on my ass cheeks, and began lapping at my cunt with his hot, wet tongue. I moaned, arching my back. "That's really good. Stick it up inside me. Fuck me with your tongue." Dominic moaned and stiffened. He was close to coming, but I slowed him down. "Not yet, sweetie," I said, withdrawing my mouth. "I want you inside me when that thing goes off, but no rush. Come around behind me. Let me feel what your tongue can do." "Anthony, lie on the bed. I'll go down on you." "Okay, Dominic, now's the time. Fuck me, sweetie. Fuck me hard and deep. Oh God, you both feel so good." And so it went on into the small hours of the morning. Indescribable pleasure. Two men, two cocks, two mouths, and so many fingers, all aiming to please. Dominic was the energetic one, plunging in with abandon, pumping me, sending shockwaves of pleasure throughout my body. Anthony was tender and playful, caressing my breasts, sucking my nipples, his cock pulsing inside me. He moaned as my cunt clamped down on him, and I arched my back to grind my clit against his shaft. I came repeatedly, aroused to a fever pitch, surprising myself by how effectively I took charge of the encounter, and how deeply satisfying that was to me. What if I took charge like this with Jean? I wondered. And would he like it? We woke late the next morning on my bed in a tangle of arms and legs and private parts. I showered and dressed while the men did the same in their rooms. When we met an hour later for breakfast at the hotel cafe, they were packed and ready for their return home. We sat together like old friends, talking, laughing, regarding one another like friends who shared a delicious secret. "I'll remember last night for the rest of my life," Dominic whispered. We finished breakfast, and the airport bus arrived. We hugged. We kissed. We looked sorry to be leaving. "If you end it with your lover, please let me know," he said as he got on the bus. "Thank you so much for the adventure of a lifetime," said Anthony. He smoothed back my hair. "I'll never forget either." I wouldn't be forgetting that night myself. When they'd gone, I took a long, slow stroll along Condado Beach, playing the prior night's events in my mind. I thought of Jean and that shy way he cast his eyes down and watched me through his lashes, like he wanted something from me I wasn't giving him, but was never clear about what. I fell asleep, smiling that night, after calling Jean to say I was flying home the next day. By then, I'd worked things through in my mind and understood what our relationship needed. "It needs me to take charge in the bedroom," I thought. "And that's what I intend to do." For Stupid Fish Productions, this is Rose Caraway. We hope you enjoyed the show. That was Plaster Orgasm and Adventure at the Casa Cervantes Hotel by Dorothy Freed. To get in touch with Dorothy, go to dorothyfriedwrites.com. And you can check out my interview with Dorothy over at the Sexy Librarians blogcast, where she discusses her 30-plus years in the BDSM community. Have a happier life. We encourage you lovely, lurid listeners to be playful. Enjoy yourselves, your partners, and your sexuality. If you would like to get in touch with me, Rose Caraway, I can be found at thekissmequicks.com. For more fun, sexy stories, go to Amazon, iTunes, or Audible and search Rose Caraway. Sign up for Audible's 30-day trial and you can get one of my audiobooks for free. Your subscription will include one free audiobook every month, as well as give you discounted prices on all my audiobooks. You can cancel at any time. I'd like to thank the following musical artists: Fabian Measures, Kai Engel, Portrayal, Mads, Scott Holmes, PC3, Elijah Bailey. The introduction and closing music by Vivage. Audio production by Big Daddy Dave Caraway. Stupid fish.
It's painful. 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 There's simply not enough funding out there to support scientists to do the work that they were trained to do. And that's a problem because you know, if you talk to the public, all these polls say that the public is very supportive of science. They want to see science grow in America, et cetera. And I don't think they realize that we're at the breaking point. The funding for non-defense related research has been flat for 30 years. Every administration, I mean, maybe the parties talk differently about how they support science, but when it comes right down to it, it's been flat. And all this time, we've been educating generation after generation of scientists as best we possibly could, and they want to do science. And there's just too many hyenas at the carcass. It's painful.